Welcome back to The Green Front. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with the one and only Hunter Lovins. You can't miss her. She always is at every gathering with her cowgirl outfit on, her leather fringe jacket and her black cowboy hat. And she is really, really one of the women who are leading this environmental movement. And if you did not catch that entire interview and want to hear it, you can go to The Green Front. Make sure you put the in there, or you will get a furniture store in Vermont that is not green at all. So thegreenfront.com is where you can hear all of our shows archived. Okay, without further delay, I want to introduce my next guest, Dave Grulich, who I believe I've met over the years. We certainly are friends on Facebook. Welcome to The Green Front, Dave.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Betsy.
You've created a game that you kindly sent me called Leaves, Green the Board, Green Our World, Earth Operating System, and rules and references to the game. Tell us, before we get to the rules and the way you play the game and where you can find it, what was your thinking in creating a game that is fun but also has a serious message and certainly an educational element?
Well, sure. I am an English teacher and environmental club advisor at Lodi High School in Lodi, California. And I was really racking my brain trying to figure out ways to engage students and the general public in these issues that are so critical. And I was finding that most people either didn't have the time or the desire to read books or environmental impact reports or even watch something like An Inconvenient Truth. So I was thinking, well, if that is the case, how can I engage people? And I thought creating a game might be a way to do that. And so in the fall of 2004, I drafted a blueprint of the game. And having never done anything like this before, it just sat in my file cabinet for 3 years. And then I was at the Green Festival in San Francisco in 2007, and I met a professional game designer named John O'Neill. And I had the blueprint in my backpack, and I showed it to him, and he and I agreed to work on it, and then we were able to create it.
And what is the green print, if you will, for this game? And what age is it targeted for?
It's targeted for people 10 to adults. And the basic idea is that there are four decks of question cards, and there's a game board, and the play pieces move around the game board, and the players have a chance to answer questions. And the idea is that there are multiple choice questions, but hopefully questions inspire discussion as well. So that's sort of the idea behind it.
And if you can tell me, what has the response been so far? I'm sure it's tough to compete with other games in these giant toy stores like Toys R Us, or maybe you're not selling it there. How can people find it?
Well, they can find it at the Monterey Bay Aquarium. That was a recent addition that we had. But you're right. It's not easy to get a foothold into a market like this, particularly as a teacher. We have a really small budget. So it's mainly dependent on word of mouth and on the website. You can find it at leavesgame.com or eosgame.com.
So L-E-A-V-E. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's mainly dependent on word of mouth, and we're gradually adding, places like the Monterey Bay Aquarium as well.
Are there many other green board games out there, Dave?
Not that I know of. I know that John had a game called Paradise, and they're out there, but as far as I know, there aren't a whole lot. I'm kind of surprised because it seems like sort of an obvious angle to try to get people engaged with these issues.
And I share your surprise, and many people are astonished to learn that there is not one nationally syndicated environmental talk show on the earth. You'd think, given the state of the planet and urgencies and all the, pardon the expression, crap on the airwaves, all the, quote, reality shows, that there'd be at least one. And I'm determined to make it happen, hopefully before things are too late. So
right.
It is surprising. I guess in some ways we really are on the forefront of this movement still, even though those of us who have been working in it for at least a decade feel like, you know, it's never going to happen. I guess these things, you know, take a while to take hold. And even though, you know, with the release of An Inconvenient Truth and more people being aware of climate change and other green issues, someone observed that it's kind of it's a long tail, but it's a shallow tail. It doesn't go deep enough. Certainly when people say, aren't we kind of done with green? Didn't we do that already? I say, didn't we do celebrity shows and sports, you know, galore? And once, you know, the parking lot, you know, in, you know, at the health club in Marin County, just my local community, is, you know, when it has more hybrid cars than giant SUVs, you know, I'll know we've, you know, it's one of the signs, one of the many signs we've turned the corner. But we have so far to go that I have to laugh when I hear people say that.
Well, that's so true. At the San Francisco Auto Show just several days ago, I had the chance to drive a Nissan Leaf at the Moscone Center. They had a set up with several cars, and people could take a test drive. I think they're actually still doing that right now. Anyway, that is something that I would love to get because I currently drive a Prius, and my wife drives a hybrid Camry, which, you know, it's a step in the right direction. But to me, what is really, really exciting is the idea of a fully electric car like the Nissan Leaf, because we have solar panels on the roof of our house. And then, you know, so we're creating the electricity that's clean, it's renewable, and we're often running a surplus depending on the time of the day. So the idea that we could be using that electricity that was produced right here at home, literally, for transportation is just, that's the way that we need to be moving.
And you're reminding me of a fallen warrior. We just lost a wonderful leader and educational expert, really, in what you're talking about. Greg Simon passed away very suddenly at the age of 46. He lives in my community, Mill Valley. And at least 5 years ago, maybe more, he was putting solar panels on his roof to charge his RAV4. And he, in a very, you know, very kind of measured, calm, never preachy way, was a real inspiration in my community. He donated the solar system that was put on my daughter's school, K-8, where we were both parents. And when he came to that school, it was such a, you know, pleasure to, you know, not be the greenest parent there. He was much greener than I. He made me look light green in what he did, and drove his electric car up and down the coast trying to educate people. And that was not his job, by the way. He was a lacrosse coach. And just want to say, you know, how sorry we are to lose him at a time when we need him most. And on with our conversation, the Nissan Leaf. So that is 100% electric, because I've heard now that the Chevy Volt is not completely electric, that there's a backup fuel tank, which isn't a bad idea either if it, you know, addresses the fears of some that they're going to run out of power midway through their trip.
Right. Right. What I know about the Volt is basically that it has the ability to travel 40 miles on, you know, fully electric mode. And then after that point, once the battery power has been exhausted, the internal combustion engine serves as a generator to create electricity, which it feeds back into the battery and then extends the life or the range of the vehicle.
That's so the Volt. And then the Leaf, is that 100% electric?
Yes, the Leaf is 100%. There's no internal combustion engine, and that's what's really exciting to me. Now, some people would say, well, it's looking like it has a 100-mile range, you know, on average. They've had some people do testing. I guess a reporter was given a Leaf for a brief time, and she was able to get, I think it was 138 miles on one charge because she was driving in town and not using the air conditioning and that sort of thing. And then they did the opposite extreme by taking it into the desert around Tucson, and they cranked it up to its top speed, which is about 90 miles an hour. And, you know, they had the air conditioning going full blast. And in that extreme situation, it got 60 miles. So the general average at this point, people think it will do about 100 miles. And that concerns some people. But the average American drives something like 30 miles a day. And for myself, it would be more than adequate because I live 4 miles from my high school where I teach. And so, you know, 100 miles would be very easy for me to do.
And would you say it's a family-friendly size?
It is. It's somewhat similar to the Prius, which I have. It has the four doors, and it has the hatchback for the convenience. You can put groceries and that sort of stuff in. So I would say it's comparable in function to a Prius.
And there are, of course, many companies coming out with electric cars in the next few years, 2011, 2012. We'll see many more on the market. Isn't it sad and ironic that the electric car had to die before it could be resurrected?
Well, it is. It's incredible. And one of the questions in the game, Leaves, is about who killed the electric car. And when the customers wanted to buy the cars from General Motors, what did General Motors do? And
they said there was no demand, while Chelsea Sexton had a waiting list of some 5,000 people.
Exactly. And I think if the general public were more aware of their presence in the first place, the demand would have been far greater. Like, for instance, during that time period in the late 90s, I didn't even know about the EV1. You know, I wasn't as involved in environmental issues then as I am now. But I'm convinced that, you know, if people had known more about it, there would be much greater demand.
Well, GM did not do much to promote it and to market it because they really didn't want it to succeed.
Exactly.
Do you think electric cars will catch on when they're more widely available and there are perhaps, you know, there's more choice in terms of meeting your needs? Or do you think Americans are, it's still going to be sort of a fringe option for many Americans?
You know, that is a really good question. I think that they will catch on for a number of reasons. One is the fact that you have a company like Tesla Motors, which is based over in Mountain View. And
the Bay Area for our worldwide audience.
Yes, and what they understood is we need to get past this idea that an electric vehicle looks and performs like a golf cart. They went to the opposite extreme, and their Tesla Roadster looks incredible. It's something that people can genuinely get excited about. They don't have to feel like they're compromising at all in terms of looks and performance and so on. And I think the presence of a vehicle like the Roadster, and the one that I'm even more excited about is the one that their four-door sedan, the Model S, which is scheduled to come out in the next year or so. And
it'll be a lot less than $100,000 per car.
Exactly. I think after the tax rebates and so on, it comes out to about $50,000. Which is still pricey, but within range of far more people. And it probably even more importantly, it would serve a much wider audience because I've sat in a Tesla Roadster, and it is a pure sports car.
It's sexy.
It's sexy. It's pure, but it's basically just for a small number of purposes, like maybe going to the golf course. It has the ability to carry golf clubs in the back, but that's about it.
Whereas the ability to pick up women.
Well, and that's also very true because it does have a passenger seat. So.
And I'd like to see a woman driving a Tesla. So far, it's just been male friends I know who are lucky enough to be able to afford it. Of course, when you say, you know, the price, especially the 50,000 model coming out soon, you have to figure that they're not going to have to pay for gas. So that does save some money. And as the, you know, price of a gallon goes up, which it almost has to, I think that there will be more demand for all electric cars, one can hope anyway.
Exactly. And there are a lot of vehicles out there that do cost $50,000. So, you know, even if they were able to capture, you know, a portion of that market, it would definitely get the word out. And the car is beautifully designed. It has such clean, contoured lines that it's something that people can really get excited about. Instead of feeling like, well, I'm doing this for the environment, so I'm going to compromise on looks or performance.
Dave, I just want to wrap up with one last question. We are running out of time. And what grades do you teach, and what are you seeing in your school? Are kids really embracing the environmental education that they're lucky enough to be getting? I would think so, because they're the ones who are going to inherit our environment, and we are leaving them the worst environmental legacy, you know, than any other generation.
Right. I teach 9th and 11th grade English at Lodi High School, and I'm the Environmental Club advisor as well. Again, it's a constant challenge, and particularly in the Central Valley, to get students excited and to care about these issues, because as you probably are aware, the Central Valley is a climate in terms of political ideas and so on, which is more akin to other areas of the country and not necessarily like the Bay Area. So
it's a red pocket in an otherwise blue-green Bay Area.
Correct. And so there's an added challenge there, and that was one of the reasons why I was trying to figure out, well, how can I get through and to these students, how can I reach them? And so the game was one attempt. We also have something that's sponsored by three local utilities, the Lodi Electric Utility, SMUD, the Sacramento Municipal Utility District, which is one of the leading utilities in the nation in terms of promoting green energy and being good environmental stewards, as well as Roseville Electric. So those three utilities recently put together something called the Youth Energy Summit, and it's for students who are served by those three utilities. And what they do is in late January, they have a two-day conference at the SMUD headquarters, and they're able to see things like the Tesla Roadster up close. They see hydrogen fuel cell cars. They see biodiesel cars. And they also had access to really excellent speakers.
Terrific, year, Dave. I'm afraid I see the clock and we're out of time, but if anyone wants to find out more about that, they can. You've got enough information. I think they can look it up. And I just want to let people know the name of the game is Leaves. The creator is Dave Grulich. And with Hanukkah, which starts very early, the first week in December this year, and Christmas right behind it, a really nice green gift that we'll keep on giving. And I want to wish you all a great green Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next time. I'm Betsy Rosenberg. This is The Green Front, where you can find us online at thegreenfront.com.